الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receivers. As I had promised the other day, that inshallah, in today's Jumu'ah talk, we will be discussing the mercy of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the verse that I recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions very clearly, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have not sent you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, into this world except as a source of mercy for all the worlds. Al-alameen is the plural of alam. Alam means one world. Here Allah says al-alameen. Commentators have explained that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a mercy for not only the human being, not only the jinn, but even the animals and the insects, any other creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that exists in the worlds. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a blessing. He was a source of mercy for every single creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as all of you are well aware of the fact that he was sent into the world at such a time when there was only darkness that prevailed, superstition, there was kufr, shirk, people were worshipping every other thing besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we mentioned the other day also, where there was killings, war, looting, plundering, carnage, chaos, it was as though the mother world wanted to suck into her belly every person that walked on her. At that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he came as a mercy to guide mankind. They were those people who were talibul haqq, who were seeking the truth. And they needed some guidance, because there was a long time that had elapsed since the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam had last come. And the people of the books, the Torah and Injil, many differences occurred amongst themselves. And they also had, many of them, interpolated their books. So they were also seeking guidance. There was a lot of misguidance that prevailed. And so a seeker, a searcher of truth, was waiting for that opportunity, for that light to come in and guide him. And this light came in the form of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he guided the people from kufr, shirk, from misguidance, towards hidayat and guidance and nur. So those who accepted him and believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and accepted him as the last and final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believed in the Quran that was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who followed his way of life, his footsteps, then they saw the light and they became shining stars. And those who followed them, they also got hidayat and guidance. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a rahmat to the believers in this way. What about the disbelievers? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tried his entire life to also win their hearts and also to guide them. He could never rest If he ever heard a person died without iman, even at the last moments of a person leaving this world without iman, Rasulullah ﷺ would visit him. There's a story of a young boy who is a Jew. He was on the throes of death, and Rasulullah ﷺ goes with certain sahaba and they visit him at that moment. His father is standing there. Rasulullah ﷺ gives dawah to this young boy and tells him to embrace Islam. So the young boy, who is quite willing now to accept Islam, but he just looks at his father once, looking for some type of indication and support from his father. And his father then nods his head and he says, "Ati' Abul Qasim," obey Abul Qasim, that is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he recites the kalima and he dies with iman. This brought such joy to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So even the disbelievers, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go to them and try and save them from the fire of Jahannam by giving them the dawah towards iman. And those who even did not accept Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the disbelievers in his time, they also benefited and enjoyed from the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because unlike every other nation of the past that disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam messengers came to them, warning them of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's azab and chastisement. And finally, after every opportunity and chance that was given to them, and when they failed to take heed, then when Allah's azab came, then that entire nation was destroyed, beside those who believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look into the Quran and read Surah Nuh and see how the people of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam were destroyed, and the people of Ad and the people of Thamud and so many other nations. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, his wujud, his existence in this ummah was such a source of mercy that unlike other nations, when they failed to take heed of the warnings of Allah and they were punished, unlike them, Allah Ta'ala did not punish this ummah. Even the disbelieving nation, Allah did not send a hurricane. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not sink this nation, the disbelieving people of this ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as long as you are with your people, Allah will not send down any azab, a general azab, destroying the entire ummah, like how Allah destroyed the people of the past. So he was a source of mercy, not only for the believers, but even for the disbelievers. When we talk about mercy, compassion, then we can see a person's and we can test his mercy, the level of his mercy, in his interaction with his enemy. History has not produced any person like the caliber of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You'll find today books, and so much appears in the social media from time to time. We people who have failed to understand the biography, the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his beautiful teachings, his noble qualities. And they make such blasphemous statements, and they portray a picture as though Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a sword and he just killed people who did not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How false it is. Untrue. The problem is with ourselves, because we ourselves, we do not understand the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So whenever we are confronted with a question of this nature, we are unable to give suitable and proper answers. We have the seerah of Rasulullah in front of us. We have no excuse, because there are translations and good translations in English. And if one reads the seerah with love and with an open mind, and you will see amazing, amazing incidents. How Rasulullah dealt with the enemy. We have heard the story and we relate the story of Taif. When he went to Taif and he gave the people of Taif dawah towards Islam, and they chased him and they began to hurl stones at him. And we all mention and we talk about how The feet of Rasulullah began to bleed profusely and he fell unconscious. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the angel offering this to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if he wished, Allah would crush the people of Taif between the two mountains. But Rasulullah sallam said, no, don't do this. Bal arju, but I hope, أَيَّكُونَ مِنْ أَصْلَابِهِمْ مَنْ يُوَحِّدُ اللَّهُ وَلَا يُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. That I have great hopes from amongst the people of Taif, from their progeny, مِنْ أَصْلَابِهِمْ, perhaps there'll be some people who will then bring iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who will believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So despite becoming unconscious, he was beaten, he was hurt, he was abused, still he showed his mercy and compassion. Battle of Uhud. And we know how the teeth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are shattered. His face is injured. On that occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes the blood that is coming out of his face and he quickly wipes it off. And he raises his hand. And what does he say? Allahumma ighfir li qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. Oh my Allah, forgive my people. Forgive my people. Because they did not know. They did not know. He gives them a chance. It is His mercy. On one occasion, when some people come to Rasulullah, and when the Muslims were being persecuted at that time, Ya Rasulullah, why don't you curse these people? Why don't you curse the enemy? Can't you see what harm they are doing to Islam? How they are persecuting the Sahaba? Why don't you curse them? What did he answer? إِنِّي لَمْ أُبْعَثْ لَآنًا إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ رَحْمَةً. This is a narration of Muslim Sharif. That I have not been sent as a person who curses, but I have been sent as a source of mercy for people. And that is why in the hadith it is mentioned, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, إِنَّمَا أَنَا رَحْمَةٌ مُهْدَاتٌ, which I mentioned the other night. That Rasulullah says, I am a source of mercy, and I'm a gift to this ummah. Allah has given us this beautiful gift. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is an embodiment of mercy. We spoke about Taif, Uhud, or about Fatih Makkah. And we know the whole story when Rasulullah was thrown out or taken out of Makkah, his hometown, the place where he was born. And as he was making the hijrat, he turns to Makkah. Oh Makkah, I love you. I love you very dearly. Had it not been for my people, I would not have emerged from you. I would not have exited. I would not have left you. And came the day after so many years, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is now conquering Makkah. Makkah is at his feet. And everybody is panicking and worried. What is going to happen to them? What does he say? La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. The exact words of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam to his brothers, I will take no revenge today. Go, all of you are free. All of you are free. On that occasion when the person who chewed the liver of his beloved uncle, Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, Hind, when she had chewed his liver, and she had asked Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala to assassinate Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, and it brought such grief to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he also shed tears on that occasion. When Hind comes and she embraces Islam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam becomes happy. And he accepts her into Islam. And what does she say? When she sees the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when she is moved by his mercy, she says, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from all the people in the world, from all the faces, I hated yours the most. Today yours is the most beloved face to me. From all the religions, yours is the worst. Today is the most dearest of religions. And she recited Iman. Wahshi radiallahu ta'ala, a long story, but how Rasulullah also gave him invitation to Islam and he also embraced Islam. He was also pardoned. What about his beloved daughter Zainab radiallahu ta'ala? And we heard last night's program also. Mufti Sahib mentioned about Zainab radiallahu ta'ala, the beloved daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was married to Abu As bin Rabi. He was not a Muslim. At that time, such a marriage was permissible until all the laws of nikah came. So she was living in Makkah with him. And Abu al-As bin Rabi is taken as a captive in Badr. And Nabi Kareem lets him go and tells him, send my Zainab over. So everything is agreed. And as she is coming out of Makkah to join her father, the enemy cannot bear this. So Habbar ibn Aswad, at that time was a disbeliever, he takes out his spear, he begins to prod the animal, and it becomes excited. It falls down. Zainab falls off the camel, and she aborts her child. What pain Rasulullah goes through. But still, the day came when Habbar ibn Aswad embraced Islam. Nabi Kareem says, قَدْ عَفَوْتُ عَنْكَ, I have forgiven you. No revenge whatsoever. Embodiment of mercy. This is when his enemy, a Jew, comes. And he says, O Muhammad, in front of people like Umar ibn Khattab, other illustrious companions, suddenly he comes and he demands payment of a debt, some loan that was given to him by him to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was not yet due date. He says, give me my money now. Rasulullah says, it's not yet time for payment. He says, you know, you people, the family of Abdul Muttalib, you always take so long to pay your debts. This is an allegation he made. And now he's demanding from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is pleading to him, I don't have the money right now. But he demands his money. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. You know, he could not tolerate anything, any disobedience to Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's about to take his sword. And his eyeballs began to rotate and move. He became angry, furious. Rasulullah saw this. Umar, what are you doing? Umar, Zayd, this person who came, his name was Zayd bin Sa'na. Zayd and I, we are in need of some other type of reaction and response from yourself. You could have addressed Zayd and told Zayd, do not demand your debt so harshly. You could have told me, O Nabi of Allah, pay the man his due in a nice and polite way. But for this, because you have been so harsh and showing him your anger, now go to Baytul Mal, pay off his debts, and also you will give him extra dates in lieu of your becoming angry. Umar ibn Khattab goes. When he's alone with Zayd bin Sa'na, Zayd suddenly says, Umar, do you recognize me? He says, no. He says, I'm Zayd bin Sa'na, the Jewish rabbi, one who was held in high esteem among the people, who had such good qualities, you behaving this way. He says, yes, I just wanted to test the tolerance of Rasulullah, his mercy, his forbearance. I want to see how he reacts, how he responds. And indeed, I found him to be a true Nabi. I embrace Islam. And my wealth, it must go to the believers. So he embraces Islam. Like this, there was another incident of another Yahud who came suddenly. And he began to demand his debts from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu was walking with Sahaba. He was not at home. He said, I cannot pay you now. So he said, I won't move. La ufariquk. I will be with you all the time. Nabi Karim said, I will sit down. He said, idhan ajlis. I'll also sit down. He sat with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He did not move. Kept on demanding payment of his debt. It was Zuhr. Right till Asr. Still he did not move. Till Maghrib. Till Isha, the entire night, next morning, Fajr, still he is demanding his payment of his, he's not allowing Rasulullah to even go home. Then as it was almost midday, then he embraces Islam. And then he says, I had found in the Torah your beautiful qualities. And I just wanted to test this one more quality. And to see your forbearance, to see your mercy. And indeed I found you to be true. There were Bedouins who would come. They were not so well cultured. They were not so educated. And they would behave sometimes in a manner which is not befitting. So a Bedouin comes and he actually begins to urinate in the masjid. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba observed this. The Sahaba almost run forward to stop him. Nabi Kareem stops them. Mahma, leave him alone. You see, there's great wisdom behind this. If they had to run forward and suddenly stop him from urinating, and he would hold back his urine, it would cause him physical damage. Nabi Kareem allows him to relieve himself, and then he goes forward to him, explains to him that, listen, this is a masjid. This is the place of prayer, of salat, dhikr, tilawat of Quran. It is not a place of dirt, urine, filth. He tells Sahaba, all you guru, take a bucket of water and just clean this area. Another Bedouin comes. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was wearing a shawl that was given to him from Najran. And the borders of the shawl was very, very thick. It was a cold day. And suddenly this Bedouin comes and he begins to grab Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by this shoulder and he pulls him towards him. And the effects of this thick border of the shawl could be found on the neck of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So can you imagine how vehemently and harshly he pulled and tugged Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And then he tells Rasulullah, he addresses him like this: Ya Muhammad, murli bimali lahi alladhi indak. Command your sahaba to give me wealth which is of Allah's in your possession, and it is for distribution, and you are hoarding it. You're not giving it to me. You must give it to me now. Rasulullah faltafata ilayhi, looked at him. Fadhahika, he smiled at him. Thumma amar lahu bi'ata'in. Then he commanded the sahaba, they go give him whatever he wants. There are so many incidents like this. You know, people have written, historians have written, that we talk about tolerant people. But even in the lives of those most tolerant people, you will find certain occasions when they also lose their patience. They also become angry. We have people who are very soft-natured. And we always see, they don't even harm a fly. His wife is so lucky, he never gets angry. But obviously, there are certain occasions when the person loses his patience. And he becomes angry. But in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, anger, if he ever became angry, was never for his own sake. It was only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He always pardoned. He always forgave. He always showed that mercy. And this is a lesson for all of us today. All of us know the amount of mercy we have in our lives. Whether it is to fellow human being, whether it is to Muslims or non-Muslims, whether it is to our workers, to our family members, little children, the mercy Rasulullah had for them. He mentioned in the hadith, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا. The one who does not have mercy upon our young ones, he does not belong to us. He is not from my ummah. He does not belong to me. When Rasulullah would receive the fruit of the first fruit of any season, the very first fruit, he will take it, he'll make a dua, and then he will call the little child. He'll call the children and give them this fruit first. When he returns from a journey, we know the long, tedious journeys of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's coming back to Madinah Munawwara. Who does he find waiting for him, the little children? And what are they waiting for? For a ride on his camel. And Nabi Kareem Sam will put him on the camel and bring them into Madinah Munawwara. He is in sajda. And the sajda is very long. Extremely long. One sahabi says, I got worried. Perhaps Rasulullah, something has happened to him. So he says, I lifted my head to see. And I saw the grandson of Rasulullah, Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, or Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, mounted on the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After the salah, the sahabi went forward. Ya Rasulullah, why did you make such a long sajda? He says, it was my grandson. And he was busy playing on my back. I did not want to lift my head. I would cause him injury. I wanted him to enjoy himself. Imagine. When he is performing salah, and if he would hear any child crying, in the congregation, he would curtail his salah. Why? Because he was concerned about the mother. كَرَاهِيَةَ أَنْ أَشُقَّ عَلَىٰ أُمِّهِ. He disliked causing pain to the mother. The child is crying, and the mother is in salah, and the mother is worried about the child, and now the Imam Sahib is reading Surah Baqarah, the poor mother is going to be so, she'll panic, and the child will continue crying, disturb every other musalli. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam curtailed his salah. Now we can go on in different incidents with children. He comes and he kisses his children. Aqra bin Habis radiallahu anhu, Ya Rasulullah, atuqabbiluna sibyanakum? You actually kiss your children, your grandchildren? He says, yes, why not? He says, I have got 10 children. Ma qabbaltu minhum ahada. I have never kissed any one of my 10 children. Nabi Akrim said, awa amliku in naza'a Allahu min qalbika rahma. What can I do when Allah has snatched away mercy from your heart? Man la yarham, la yurham. The one who does not show mercy, Allah will not show mercy to him. Animals. Animals, this is Islam. The non-Muslims have not read these incidents. That is why they label us as terrorists. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is going with Sahaba. And he goes to relieve himself. When suddenly there was a bird with his two nestlings. So some Sahabi went and he grabbed the two nestlings. So when Nabi Kareem Sam returns, he sees the mother fluttering her wings. And she was in a state of panic. It was the children. Nabi Kareem Sam realized, Man faja'a hadihi bi waladiha? Who has frightened, alarmed this mother because of her children? We are her nestlings. Rudduha. Give her back. Give it back to her. A bird. And therefore he says, any person who kills a bird, Man qatala usuran, without any need, for no reason, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will question him regarding this. Sometimes in the farms we brand an animal. Nabi Kareem says, do not brand the animal on its face. He says, Allah's curse is on that person who brands the cow, the animal, the sheep, the goat on its face. He's going with Sahaba and he finds a colony of ants burnt. Who did this? The Sahaba, some of them said, well, we saw this colony of ants, so we burned them. He said, لا يعذب بالنار إلا رب النار. Only the creator of fire, that is Allah, he has got the right to punish any person with fire. Otherwise, we do not have the right to kill these animals and insects in this way. On one occasion, a camel in one of the gardens of the Ansar comes to Rasulullah crying. Nabi Kareem goes forward, places his hand behind the ear of the camel, he strokes it gently, puts it, his ear towards the camel. The camel speaks to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Kareem then asks, Man rabbu hadhal jamal? Who is the owner of this animal? So a young sahabi said, I am the owner. He said, this animal is complaining that you have not fed it. You are keeping it hungry. You are burdening it with extra work. This is not correct. So even with animals, we see Rasulullah's mercy. And there are so many other examples. With his workers, Abu Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an. Abu Mas'ud. One is Ibn Mas'ud, this is Abu Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an. He says, كُنْتُ أَضْرِبُ غُلَامًا لِي فَسَمِعْتُ مِنْ خَلْفِي صَوْتًا. He says, I was lashing out at one of my slaves for some problem. I was whooping him. Suddenly I hear a voice behind me, Aba Mas'ud. I turn around, فَإِذَا هُوَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ It's Rasulullah sallallahu. He said, لَاللَّهُ أَقْدَرُ عَلَيْكَ مِنْكَ عَلَيْهِ. Allah has more power and authority than you have over this slave of yours. Allah has more power over you. Why are you lashing out on this slave? Immediately he realizes his mistake. He says, Ya Rasulullah, huwa hurrun li wajhi Allah. I freed him for the sake of Allah. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Abu Mas'ud, if you did not do this, illam taf'al lalafahatka an-nar aw lamassatka an-nar. If you do not do this, then the fire of Jahannam would have scorched you, it would have burnt you. أَعْطُ الْأَجِيرَ أَجْرَهُ قبل أن يعرق. Give the worker his due. أعطوا الأجير أجره. Before his sweat becomes dry. قبل أن يجف عرقه. Before his sweat becomes dry, we are commanded to give the laborer, give the worker his due. Why do we have to wait for the month to finish? Why do we have to wait for the next month to start? Then after a few weeks, then we decide to give him his payment. As though he's got no rent to pay. As though he's got no lights and water to pay. As though he's got no wife and children to see to. Mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Are there examples in the books of seerah? Not for the shelves. But for myself and all of us to implement this into our lives. And therefore you find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whether it was an enemy, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, the leader of the hypocrites, the man who left no stone unturned in harming Rasulullah sallam, in mocking Rasulullah, ridiculing Rasulullah sallam. He pretended he was a believer, but he was a hypocrite. Nabi Karim some goes with Sahaba, battle of Uhud, 1,000, suddenly en route, 300 of them, they return. Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, leader of the Munafiqeen, when he saw and he found an opportunity to actually accuse the beloved wife of Rasulullah sallam, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, ma'azallah, of committing zina. Immediately he started this rumor. Rasulullah sallam knew he was an open munafiq. Nabi sallam knew this. Sahaba knew this. In one battle as he coming back, لَيُخْرِجَنَّ الْأَعَزُّ مِنْهَا الْأَذَلُ. He began to tell his friends, when we go back to Medina, we'll throw all these downtrodden companions of Rasulullah out of Medina. Nabi Karim knew about all this. But when Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul passes away, his son comes. His son was a believer. He was a Sahabi. Ya Rasulullah, my father has got no coffin. He's got no coffin. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives him a coffin from his side. Why? Because in the battle of Badr, and when Abbas radiallahu ta'ala was taken as a captive, he needed something to cover himself. On that occasion, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul happened to give him a garment. In lieu of that, Nabi Kareem Salam gives him a coffin, comes for his janazah salah. It's a long incident, comes in the tafsir, comes in the Quran, mufassirin go into detail, explanations. Umar radiallahu ta'ala is trying to stop Rasulullah from going forward. Nabi Karim still performs the janazah salah of Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, leader of the Munafiqeen. Some ulama have mentioned that Rasulullah fell even at this moment. This mercy if I show. Perhaps Allah will forgive him. Allah Ta'ala didn't send on the ayat, istaghfir lahum aw la tastaghfir lahum. Allah Ta'ala will never forgive such people. Nonetheless, he was known as, his name was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ahmad, al-Muqaffi, al-Hashir, al-Aqib, Nabi al-Tawbah, and Nabi al-Rahmah. Embodiment of mercy, may Allah Ta'ala give us it. That type of mercy, even a little bit of that mercy, if we have, and we show to our children, our parents, our fellow human beings, towards the animals, towards every creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then believe me, inshallah, the darkness that is looming over the world, those clouds will move. There'll be brightness and light again. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.